Welcome to WMNF on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. COVID-19 cases are surging in Florida and across other parts of the country. Today, we're going to talk to a doctor about coronavirus infections in the Tampa Bay region. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, cited in the Tampa Bay Times, 228,000 children have been diagnosed with COVID-19 in Florida. That's about 9% of the population. That's an important number to pay attention to, with many Tampa Bay area school districts beginning the school year today. And there are different rules when it comes to face masks in schools. We'll try to clear up some of that confusion this hour. Later in the show, I'm going to take your phone calls. In the meantime, you can email your comments to dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Please sign your name if you text. Well, let's bring on our guest right now. Dr. Jason Wilson is an associate medical director of the ER at Tampa General Hospital. Welcome back to WMNF, Dr. Wilson.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you can join us on this important first day of school for many people and during this very concerning COVID-19 surge in Florida and in Tampa Bay. Let's start with me asking you to tell our listeners what you're seeing at Tampa General. What are your interactions with COVID-19 patients there?
Sure. What we're seeing at Tampa General is very concerning. What we're seeing is very similar to where we were last summer, but in many ways worse. The volume of patients we're seeing is actually higher. The way they're presenting is worse. They're often sicker patients now, and they're much younger patients than we were seeing just a year ago. You know, 1 year ago, we thought a lot about why someone might get sick from COVID and why someone else might not. So we thought about, you know, age and diabetes and other things. And now really what we're seeing are, and what I'm learning from conversations with patients who come in with COVID, is most of our patients, as you've probably heard, are unvaccinated at this point and really filling up hospitals.
So maybe if I could just simplify things in saying, if you don't want to end up in the hospital, probably the best thing you could do would be to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I know we're starting to say that message more and more, but I'm still not sure how, like, to us from a hospital setting, how obvious that message is. You know, the thing that helps us decide whether this is a patient who's going to get sick from COVID or not get sick from COVID is really whether they're vaccinated or not vaccinated. So not only do you get that huge amount of protection against even getting COVID, even with the Delta variant, there is significant protection against getting infection at all, just with the vaccine, that even if you do get infection, the likelihood of ending up in the hospital is incredibly low. And the likelihood of ending up in the ICU or on a ventilator is exceedingly rare. And most of those patients are patients who unfortunately have other immune problems, things like transplants and chemotherapy for cancer, things like that.
Continuing on that line, then, essentially what you're saying is even so for cancer patients or for people who have had transplants, even if they've taken the responsible step of getting vaccinated, the fact that there are so many unvaccinated people and the fact that this pandemic is continuing, really, they're becoming almost like the sacrificial patients. These people are getting sick, even though they've been responsible, they're still getting sick and many of them are dying. So we're essentially, as a society, choosing to sacrifice people who have had organ transplants or people who are immunosuppressed in other ways, like cancer patients.
Yeah, and you make a really good point, Sean, because the best thing we can do to protect people who either aren't eligible for vaccination yet, that's kids, right? Kids under 12, people who, even though they got the vaccine, just don't have the immune system to respond to the vaccine. Really, by definition, that's what a transplant patient has to have, is an immune system that won't reject their transplanted organ. The best thing we can do is to go out and get vaccinated to protect those other people who will not respond well if they were to get sick from COVID.
What can you tell us about the difference between the Delta variant and previous variants of the coronavirus, biochemically and biostructurally? How is it different? And how is it different when it comes to transmissibility and whether patients get sicker?
Sure. So there's been a number of variants of COVID at this point, of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and that is to be expected. infected. Viruses, you know, replicate over and over again. They're going to have mutations. They're going to have different strains. We've tracked over 40 strains just at Tampa General through genetic sequencing that patients come in with. Now, some of those differences in those strains are very small molecular differences in what's called the spike protein, which is kind of the major protein site on the outside of the wall of the virus that we are targeting with antibodies. And every time that spike protein changes a little bit, then there is some question as to whether or not treatments or antibodies are going to be quite as effective, or if the virus might have gotten a little leg up in the arms race and be able to get into cells a little bit more. Now, I mentioned there were 40 variants we had found at Tampa General. That doesn't mean that all those variants are as concerning as Delta. The CDC and the WHO watch this very closely, and they identify the variants that are concerning. They actually call them variants of concern because they're shown to be different in some meaningful clinical way, or they transmit more. There's about four of those right now, and Delta is the predominant one. We hear so much about it because it is really so transmissible. It's probably 5 to 6 times more transmissible than the previous sort of regular SARS-CoV-2 COVID virus, which we already knew was 2 to 3 times more transmissible than the flu.
Our guest is Dr. Jason Wilson. He's Associate Medical Director of the ER at Tampa General Hospital, and you're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. It's 10:12 in the morning. We're talking about the spike in coronavirus cases and COVID-19 infections all over the Tampa Bay area and in Florida and elsewhere in other parts of the country. And I want to focus on children for just a bit, because you mentioned earlier that if you're 12, or if you're under the age of 12, you aren't even eligible for a vaccination yet. And Florida leads the nation in hospitalization rate of kids who've been infected with the coronavirus. That rate is 0.76 per 100,000 residents. So what do COVID-19 numbers look like right now in Florida and in the U.S. or in local counties or Tampa General? What kinds of numbers can you give us for kids?
Yeah, so, you know, what we've kind of heard throughout this natural history of the virus is that kids seem to have some protection against COVID, which we know is not really true, that they're protected from getting COVID. You know, fortunately, they have not gotten quite as sick. But what we have seen over this last couple of weeks is that there is so much prevalence of COVID out there, and that elderly people are vaccinated, some middle-aged people and over are vaccinated. So where do we start to see COVID appear with that high prevalence? We start to see more cases in kids. We start to, when there's just more COVID out there, more kids are going to get COVID, which means more kids are going to get sick. And so while the hospitals overall in this area have had very low numbers of pediatric hospitalizations up until recently, now we start to see some double-digit numbers for hospitalizations. Our major children's hospital in this area, which is over in St. Petersburg, which is the all-children's site, is now seeing double-digit hospitalizations for the first time of pediatric cases. It's starting to see pediatric cases of children on ventilators and in ICUs. And so we know that, just like with young people, if there's enough of the virus out there, then eventually, just by probability, we're going to get enough people sick that they're going to have serious and significant outcomes and continue to spread virus around our community.
What do we know about what's called long COVIDs? People having symptoms just months and months after they were initially sick, and how does it affect children or adults differently?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. We don't know if it is different for children and adults. I think what we're learning right now, that we're starting to unfortunately see a higher volume of pediatric cases, is that A, you probably can have some long COVID or downstream autoimmune sequelae or downstream just, you know, physiological deconditioning from COVID. You can have that in adults for sure. We've known that because we've had so many COVID cases in adults for a long time. But it's starting to look like you can have this in children too, which of course is very concerning. You know, the last thing we want to do is, you know, give our children downstream effects or downstream problems they're going to have to face later in life. But with adults, adults, you know, what we know is this is a physiologically debilitating disease. And, you know, for many of them, for anybody who goes in the ICU or the hospital for a long time, it's going to take a long time to recover. So respiratory problems, cardiovascular problems, fatigue, and sometimes some neurological memory or psychiatric problems as well.
Let's talk about masks for a while. The CDC recommended recently that everyone should wear a mask indoors over the age of 2. And so when they recommended that, I guess a lot of people thought, well, maybe that means that people will over the age of 2 in schools will be required to wear masks. And it isn't really panning out like that. The governor of Florida is insisting that there not be a mask mandate. Several counties are going against his threats, if I can say that, and requiring masks, allowing some parents to opt out. What do you think would be the best strategy when it comes to masks? First, what would you recommend for people in general, but then specifically if you have any recommendations for schools?
Yeah, this has been a frustrating topic. It's been a frustrating topic because I promised my 12-year-old in May that when he got vaccinated, that 2 weeks after that, we could stop wearing masks and go to some baseball games and do some stuff. And you know, so that was my promise to him. And the promise held up for...
Our guest is Dr. Jason Wilson, Associate Medical Director of the ER at Tampa General Hospital. Looks like we're having some Zoom issues right now. Maybe we'll try to reconnect with Dr. Wilson. In the meantime, what I'm going to do is...
For a couple of weeks and...
Yeah, I think that Dr. Wilson is having some buffering problems, and we'll try to reconnect with him, and he'll let us know when he's back on. But let me play this this is from Manatee Schools yesterday. This is the lawyer of Manatee County Schools talking about why his county feels that they're not allowed to institute a mask mandate in Manatee County Schools.
My legal opinion is, one, the executive order from the governor, which is 21-175, and also Section D. Students may wear masks or facial coverings as a mitigation measure. It says may, it doesn't say they must. It gives the flexibility. And therefore, if students may wear them, it would prohibit a mask mandate. Again, that's my opinion, and Mr. Dye has expressed that same opinion as well.
Well, that was some audio from yesterday's Manatee County School Board meeting, and that county's lawyers say that they are not allowed to mandate masks, but other counties feel that there is a little window there for them to mandate masks for everyone with the parents' ability to opt out. And we have Dr. Jason Wilson back from Tampa General Hospital. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, hopefully this is working better.
Yeah, sounds great.
Great. Yeah, you know, I think I was talking about the frustration that, you know, our family has had and me and my kid have had. I had promised him that, you know, he got vaccinated in May and that 2 weeks later we would stop wearing masks, you know, as a family and, you know, start going to some baseball games and doing some things. And that held up for a couple of weeks, that promise. But as we got closer to the school year here, obviously things started to shift. And you know, what I reminded him of is that, you know, whether there was a mask mandate or not a mask mandate, there was certainly no mandate against wearing masks. And that for us, you know, looking at the data, especially around the Delta variant, as it got closer, it looked like even vaccinated people could spread Delta asymptomatically. We would probably need to go back to mask in indoor settings. And so, you know, today, you know, he went to school again and had the mask right back on. Unfortunately, even though we don't have a formal full mandate here in Hillsborough County, I did notice that quite a few of the middle school kids were wearing their masks. And, you know, it is an opt-out, at least, requiring a form to come out of the mask. You know, so that's where we are. We're right back where we were when the school year ended and, you know, having many of the same discussions we were having just previous to the school year last year beginning, unfortunately.
What can you tell us about the percentage of people who are testing positive, say in Hillsborough County or in Florida, how that number has changed over time and what numbers should we look at? What's the target? Where should we be heading?
Yeah, you know, we really want to get both the positivity rate under 5% and also the new cases per day under 5 per 100,000. And so if you go back to May of a year and a half, whatever, a year and 3 months ago, that May, we were kind of right there. And so we were at that turning point of which way to go. And some things reopened and some things got worse. And we surged and we got much worse. We saw double-digit positivity and double-digit new cases per day. Things were bad for a long time. And they were starting to return back to very close to those numbers. Around this May, we were about that 5% positivity rate and getting really close to that 500,000 new cases per day for the incidence. Unfortunately, that world seems like many, many, many moons ago now, because now we're at over 20% positivity and we're hanging in the high 70s to 80s per 100,000 cases in this area. Or to think about it another way, about 1,000 cases, you know, as a 7-day average. So really not at all where we want to be. So you move from a place of containment of virus to a place of understanding there is really virus around you everywhere at this point, and you have to try to go from containment to mitigation control. And what, you know, that's a big part of the reason why you're seeing masks come back. A, because so few people are vaccinated. B, because of a very transmissible variant right now. And C, because vaccinated people can probably spread asymptomatic virus with this strain.
Our guest is Dr. Jason Wilson, Associate Medical Director of the ER at Tampa General Hospital. I think you're super busy, so I think that we're running out of time with you right now. But let me just ask one last question, if we have time. Some school districts are no longer requiring students who may have been exposed to COVID-19 to quarantine at home. What effect might that have, and what would you recommend to school districts?
Yeah, you know, this year is going to be a tough place because we've got some kids who are vaccinated, some kids who are not vaccinated, some staff who are vaccinated, some staff who are not vaccinated. What we do know is that last year we had a quarantine rule in place, and overall, schools did not drive a community outbreak. So overall, masks and quarantines seem to work reasonably well. What becomes concerning is that if you have unvaccinated people gather together and don't have quite those same effects, mandates in place, then you start to worry about the opposite happening, that a school outbreak could drive a community outbreak. So certainly, you know, we are concerned, and, you know, the CDC overall would still recommend quarantining positive people for 10 days from the beginning of symptoms. And that's probably still the right strategy. You know, the question here is, you know, about vaccination. And we just know our numbers are very low right now for vaccination status.
Well, Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for coming back on WMNF.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to come on anytime. Sorry it's always about this.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about something else in the future, I hope. Well, Dr. Jason Wilson is Associate Medical Director of the ER at Tampa General Hospital and an Associate Professor at USF Health. And we'll be right back after this short music break. We'll talk more. We'll answer your question. I'll answer your questions, and we'll talk about your concerns about the coronavirus in Tampa Bay and beyond. Here's a little bit of Sleater Kinney for the next few seconds. A little bit of brand new Sleater Kinney for you, the clean version. And we are talking about back to school and the coronavirus on WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan, and I'm the host of the interview show this hour. Next hour, Janelle will also talk about coronavirus. I hope you stay tuned all morning, and then we'll have music starting at noon. It's 10:25 in the morning on 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, or WMNF.org. Some schools went back to school today. Pinellas County schools start tomorrow, and WMNF's Daniel Figueroa IV was at a rally at the school district office in Largo yesterday. And at that rally, parents and doctors urged the school board to make masks mandatory. We're going to hear that story in just a second, but I also want to remind you that you can call in with your questions and comments at 813-239-9663. You can also email dj at wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. Karen writes, Karen in Dunedin says, opt-out is a cop-out. It still puts other children at risk. It just makes the parent... just makes the parents write a note. So that's the thoughts of Karen in Dunedin. Well, let's hear about this rally in Pinellas County yesterday for parents and doctors who wanted to mandate masks in Pinellas County schools.
Seventh grader Liam Oliver wants to be a public defender when he grows up. But for now, he'd just like to make sure he and his brothers are able to stay safe and healthy.
My youngest brother has epilepsy. If we bring COVID home to him, he's likely to die.
Last month, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sent a memo recommending everyone in school wear masks, even if they're vaccinated. The policy change came after deadly spikes due to the Delta variant of COVID-19. Still, Governor Ron DeSantis swore to ban mask mandates in school. But the rules, which were redrawn by both the health and education departments at the governor's request, left room for mask mandates so long as districts allow parents an opt-out option. Brad Rosenheim is a professor at the University of South Florida. He's also a doctor and scientist and father of two Pinellas County school students.
We respect personal choice, but when that personal choice coerces us into losing our freedoms because we become ill, because we can't attend school, because parents can't attend work when their children are home from school, it's no longer just about personal choice. It's about social responsibility.
Among the almost 60 attendees were the three Democratic candidates for Florida's soon-to-be-vacant 13th Congressional District. Eric Lynn is a former White House aide under Barack Obama. Ben Diamond and Michelle Rayner are current state representatives. Rayner spoke during the rally. She said the governor should advocate for more safety concerns and allow local jurisdictions autonomy. DeSantis has presidential hopes. Rayner said he made that even more obvious by using Florida tax dollars to support states along the southern border of the U.S. and by taking multiple trips to deal with other states' issues while Florida is ravaged by red tide and COVID-19.
This is not a partisan issue. This is our children, and they are relying on us to do what is right. Our children deserve better than being pawns by the government.
A few counter-protesters from the right-wing organization Community Patriots showed up toward the end of the rally challenging mask rules. Sweet Gonzalez, one of the members, said she doesn't trust a school's ability to ensure safe or proper mask wearing. She's pulled her children out of school and will be homeschooling them this year.
My kid had a runny nose. I kept him home from school, not because I thought COVID, but because I didn't want boogers on the inside of his mask all day.
And Phoebe Garrett said masks and vaccines do more harm than good.
We don't even know what the effects are going to be once they kick in all the 5G.
The CDC maintains vaccinations and mask wearing are the biggest tools in the fight against COVID-19. The Pinellas County School Board held a workshop meeting Monday to discuss the new rules. A vote could change it, but for now, Pinellas plans to open school Wednesday with a mask recommendation, not a mandate. Updated COVID-19 guidelines and answers to frequently asked questions can be found at pcbs.org. For WMNF News, I'm Daniel Figueroa IV in Largo.
Well, thanks to that story for Daniel Figueroa IV. If you want to listen to it again, it is on our website, WMNF.org, as are all of Daniel's coverage of COVID-19 and all of his other great stories, and all the rest of our reporters and our talk show hosts' coverage of COVID-19. So please check it out on WMNF.org. Again, you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. I'm Sean. And until in the next half hour, we'll be playing some more audio from Manatee County and elsewhere about masks and about mandates. And I'll be also reading your texts and your emails and taking your phone calls. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. So we'll put you on the air if you call in. And I want to read a couple of the emails that have come across the desk so far. Dan writes, I'm trying to spread vaccination goodwill by flashing the peace sign. It signifies that I'm vaccinated or I support it, and it seeks a reciprocal response. It avoids having to ask and may create a little peer pressure. Please help get the word out for this. So that's Dan's suggestion out there, is flashing the peace sign to promote vaccinations. Also, DeMarco writes, sends us some of the tweets that he sent. I'll read some of them. They get a little raunchy, perhaps, but he writes, at Governor Ron DeSantis, you are guilty of pandemicide. There is blood on your hands. 172 children hospitalized with COVID as of yesterday. He goes on to say, Ron DeFascist is going against Pediatric Association and CDC recommendations to sacrifice all our children to death cult. So that's some of what DeMarco writes from his Twitter feed. And I want to thank everyone who has written in so far, and encourage you to write your thoughts to dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Hey, did your kids start school today, or are you a high schooler or something going to school today? What do you think about whether your school permits people to opt out of mask mandates, or if there is a mask mandate or not, and whether you feel safe? How many people in your school are wearing masks? Or if you dropped off a student this morning, did you see a lot of kids with masks wearing them? It's just interesting questions. I'd like to know if you have anything, any thoughts about that, and what you think the best way to protect school kids is during the pandemic, because it's gotten a lot worse because not enough people in Florida have been vaccinated. So Doug writes, it's tough to constantly hear about COVID. I say that because there's so much unknown about it. That being said, if science says a vaccine and mask work, let's do it. Texas Governor Abbott tries to ban masks and then asks for healthcare providers from other states to come help. And Doug finishes his email by saying, don't ask me about DeSantis. So those are some of the thoughts that have come in, but we're also wondering what you're thinking out there. 813-239-9663 if you would like to comment. So yesterday I listened to and recorded the Manatee County School Board meeting. I think it was an emergency meeting that they held about masks. No decisions were made, but the lawyer, as you heard earlier, said, you know, we're not allowed to mandate masks. Of course, a lot of the neighboring counties are disagreeing with that lawyer's decision. But I listen to public comments, so you don't have to. But I have to say, this public comment was a lot different. There were quite a few people supporting mask mandates during this public comment from Manatee County yesterday. In fact, I was trying to get a segment where two or three people said they support it and two or three people opposed it. And that was really difficult. I actually found a chunk where like 9 or 10 people in a row supported mask mandates. And then the last person in this soundbite opposed it. So what I'm going to play is just the last two from that chunk. Here's somebody who supports the mask mandate in Manatee County, and then the person after that opposes it. We'll listen to these two people, and then we'll take your calls. 813-239-9663. Here are two members of the public in Manatee County yesterday who spoke out, one in favor of a mask mandate in public schools and the other opposed.
Good morning. This is Tina Show. I am going to keep this short for you as requested. I agree with the previous speakers who support a mask mandate with an opt-out for parents as may be needed for medical purposes. We need to protect the children, teachers, and staff throughout our school system. I liken putting a mask on a child to trying to get a squirming 2-year-old into a car seat. We all know it may not be easy, but it is necessary for their safety. No responsible adult would think about driving around with a child not secured safely. I look at face masks as the car seats for COVID at this point. This can always be changed. If you institute the mandate today, you can revisit it when the numbers show a decline in infection. I respectfully ask the school board to institute the mask mandate and other COVID precautions. Thank you.
Natalia Rizzo.
I had several things I wanted to bring up today, but after listening to several parents going on and on and on about how they feel that their children are going to be in such worrisome and fear factor, I've buried two of my children, so I think my children deserve a voice. I think that this whole thing with the mask and the shots has gone way beyond what anyone has a recall answer to say. It's cost me two children, so I think my children deserve a voice. If you want to mask your children, put a mask on your children. If you do not, you do not have to. It is that simple. If I want to inject my child with a vaccine, that is my choice, so on, etc. What infuriates me are these people that come up here and tell me that my child does not have the right, who doesn't have a voice and has to speak sign language and see face of other individuals, isn't allowed to communicate. Are my autistic children who believe in our face, in our structure of what we see and what we say and how we feel, who can't comprehend regular conversations. You've just eliminated that. If you want to wear a mask, fine. But as I look around the room and I see everybody wearing a mask, how often do you wear and wash that mask on your face? Because to me, I wear my underwear. After I take a shower, I wash it. I'm looking around at some of these Petri dishes, and you're wanting to force these children for 8 hours a day in a Petri dish. Not everybody believes the same. I respect your belief. Why can't you respect mine? Do my children not count? And as far as segregating these children, you guys have been trying to push CRT. Are you not segregating these children when you say, we only want masked children in this room, we only want non-mask in this room, we only want vaccinated? No, you can't do that. You can't say you want rights for all and then limit and segregate us yet again. If you're scared, stay home. If you don't want to go to a restaurant because you're scared someone's got COVID, order out. We have options. But it is not right for someone else to tell my handicapped children, and by the way, I'm handicapped as well, this is my service dog, no one has the right to turn me away. But yet last year, because of these mandates, which by the way, are not laws, I couldn't go to the grocery store, I couldn't pick up my prescription drugs, I couldn't get my dry cleaning, I couldn't get basic needs because I was turned away because people do not understand the law. Your rights of fear are not mine. I've buried two children, almost lost my husband 6 months ago to a heart attack. I'm not scared to live. Two children I've buried, I trump yours. Until you've buried a child, you have no idea. This is where it has to end. Stop taking people's choices away. If you're scared, don't want to do this, fine, we have options.
Okay, so those were two of the parents or members of the community in Manatee County who spoke during the school board meeting yesterday. And one of them, the first one, was in favor of having a mask mandate for schools, and the second one was opposed to that. What do you think? Who do you agree with? Who made better points? 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. Or you can text 813-433-0885. You're listening to WMNF Tampa. Let's go to the phones here, and we'll hear first. I'm getting the name as Hero in Palm Harbor. Hero, is that your name?
Yes, it is. Thanks for having me today. My name's Hero. I'm calling out of Palm Harbor, Florida. Just to touch base on the mask conversation in general, I've done homicide suicide cleanup for 3.5 years, and the COVID is a form of SARS too, and I've been in multiple SARS cases and stuff with that turned into MRSA and had a quarantine hospital.
Yeah, I think you said all this the other day. Do you have anything new to add quickly?
Yeah, it's just becoming a fashion statement pretty much. And
what, masks?
The masks are becoming a fashion statement.
The masks the CDC says masks are recommended to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
I understand that, but how could it stop the spread of COVID-19 when you need charcoal respirators to stop the spread of COVID-19?
If you're in close contact with a COVID-19 patient, you will have something really impressive, like a fitted mask. But if you are just walking around at at a baseball game or something, KN95 mask, well fitted, is pretty effective. Especially
How many men do you see out there where, you know, with big burly beards walking around Publix and stuff with paper?
I think you're getting off topic here. The topic, the point is, if everyone wore masks, then we could cut this thing off at the knees. Not that there's one guy who has a beard. That's irrelevant. If everyone wore masks, we would end this COVID-19 pandemic, right?
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying it's becoming more of a fashion statement. If you go to Target and you wind up looking inside the clothing aisle, it says become your own fashionista, and I'll have masks matching the outfits and whatnot.
Okay.
You know, my friend works in a nursing home right now, and about 95% of the people that have received COVID shots actually have COVID right now. My mother died in a nursing home in New York. She was totally fine before she went into the nursing home. Everything was going great with her health. All of a sudden, she goes into a nursing home and gets COVID. I mean, if all these deaths and stuff are going on, and how come we're not having a problem burying people now? I mean, because I know when COVID was supposedly going on a few months ago or about a year ago, it was very difficult to get my mom cremated. If all these COVID cases are going on, where's the ambulances in the road? How come hospitals are empty?
Because a lot of people have taken responsibility and they have gotten vaccinated, and so that there are people that are unvaccinated that are getting sick, but there's not as many people dying because we are able to take care of them because there's not as many sick people. The infection rate right now, if everyone was unvaccinated right now, we would be looking a lot worse than we were looking 18 months ago or 17 months ago, whenever that was, when there were hospitals lined up. But thankfully, a lot of people have gotten vaccinated, so essentially the effective population size is a lot smaller. So the people who are getting sick are the unvaccinated, and there's just fewer of them than there were fewer unvaccinated people this year than there were 12, 14, 16 months ago. Hey, thanks for that call, Hero. I appreciate that. Let's try one more call right now. Let's go to, is it Levy in Winter Haven?
Sure. Hey, Sean, how are you today?
I'm pretty good.
So you just said if everybody wears a mask, we would end COVID-19. I guess you believe that?
I'm not the only one who says that, but quickly make your point.
Well, I mean, you know, the guy that called previously was kind of saying that, you know, you have to have a certain kind of mask. There's not a specific mask that's required. If I go to the dollar store and buy 5 masks for a dollar, it's probably not going to protect you.
So I have to say, okay, you guys call in, please call in, but say something intelligent because, you know, nickel and diming and making tiny little points about whether one mask is better than another. Of course, one mask is better than another. But the only point that's important is that if everyone wore masks and if they were decent masks, we would end this thing. I mean, you know, making silly tiny little points one after another. I think what's the point of that? I don't even get how that's in entertaining for anyone. Let me read some emails. Maybe the emails will be better. Lelena writes, my two daughters are attending a Pasco County High School. So far today, they have reported little to no mask wearing by students or teachers. When we went to meet the teacher night, one teacher of 10 we met was masked. Very concerned for our school-aged children. We need a mandate. People are not doing the right thing, unfortunately. So this is a Pasco County High School parent who is concerned that not very many people are wearing masks in schools, contrary to the advice of the nation's leading epidemiologist at the CDC. Ernie writes, I wear a mask when necessary, but one reason you don't, quote, studies about the effectiveness of masks is because there aren't any. Absolutely false. That's not true. There are tons and tons of studies about the effectiveness of masks in COVID-19. CDC.gov is a very good resource for good science about preventing COVID-19. CDC.gov. Tom writes, wear a damn mask or just let natural selection take its course. Fashion statement, what an ignorant assumption, says Jill. Jill, I don't know for sure if that was an ignorant assumption. I mean, yeah, if I wear a mask, I wouldn't mind it looking good. But what does that have to do with this conversation? Was my point to that caller. So thank you for that, Jill. You know, I don't agree with you. I think when you're reading between your lines, when you say let natural selection take its course, I think I know what you mean there. But I disagree with that because if there are people out there who want to be irresponsible, they can be irresponsible about something that doesn't harm other people. They could be, you know, if you want to go to a drag race course, a closed course, and race your cars on a closed course, you know, whatever, go for it. But if you want to do that on Dale Mabry Highway, no, you're putting other people's lives at risk. When you don't wear a mask, you're putting other people's lives at risk. When you decline a vaccination for no good reason, you're putting other people's lives at risk. You're prolonging a COVID-19 pandemic. So thanks for the emails. Let me read Andy. He writes, that woman, who I think he was referring to, was the person in Manatee County. She equates freedom with the right to act foolishly. Her track record is almost as bad as Death Santis's is. So that's one way that some people call our governor is Death Santis. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. Let's go now to Barbara, our first woman caller of the day. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for joining the conversation.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Thank you for your words. Good. Thanks for your words because they make a lot of sense. And I'd also like to speak about the woman that was talking about losing children, and she brought up that, and I'm very sorry for her loss. And she brought up that point probably five times during her rant, and I believe she's saying she's a Trump supporter by saying her troubles trump everybody else's. But, you know, what if because of this, I lose my grandchildren, God forbid. But she was also saying, well, we have a choice to stay home and to have our food, you know, sent in, and she's got a disability. And just because you have a disability dog doesn't mean you have a disability. Doesn't prove that you have one. But she could do the same thing. She could stay home, have her food delivered, have her dry cleaning picked up and her meds delivered, or go through the drive-thru. So, you know, her points are not well taken. So I don't appreciate her whole attitude. And I think DeSantis has really made our state look terrible, because now we're like the second leading state in COVID. And that's not necessary. So that's what I want to say.
Thanks, Barbara. And you mentioned a statistic at the end, and I don't want people to misunderstand that statistic. You said that Florida has the second worst COVID rate in the country, and then people might dismiss that and say, oh, well, that's just because Florida is huge. But the statistic you're talking about is second most per capita. And I heard on Amy Goodman's show, I think it was, where if Florida were a country, it would have the worst outbreak in the entire world. This is the epicenter of the entire world of outbreaks. I mean, there's apparently a state, I think it's, is it Missouri or Iowa? I forget which one, that has a higher per capita than Florida. But think about how 21 or 22 million people in Florida, and we have the second highest rate in the country. That means there's thousands and thousands and thousands of walking time bombs out there with COVID. Some of them who don't know are infected, and some of them might not be wearing masks. And all that's doing is it's spreading. And, you know, if let's say you're someone who's vaccinated and relatively healthy and you wear a mask, the argument might go, okay, well, chances are I'm practicing safety. I'm not going to get sick. But the thing is, as long as there's people out there who aren't vaccinated and who are not wearing masks and are essentially waiting to get COVID, that just gives time for the virus to mutate and to have more and more variants, as our first guest said, as Dr. Wilson said. And so, yes, you might have been responsible, but who knows when the Lambda variant arrives here or when a later variant arrives, it might completely ignore whether you've been vaccinated or not. And then so those of us who have been responsible this entire time and stayed at home when we needed to stay home and wore masks when we needed to wear masks, which is almost every time we're around other people, especially now, we still might not be safe. Those people are putting us at risk. I took over. I'm sorry, Barbara.
One more thing. No, thank you for that. It makes perfect sense. DeSantis is saying that the immigrants are bringing in the virus, but Kamala Harris went to the border and she told all the immigrants to go home. And you try to tell a Trump supporter that, and they don't even believe it, but she did. I mean, Amy Goodman reported on that fact, and I trust everything that she says. So, you know, they think that we're so liberal, but Kamala Harris told the immigrants to go home. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they're letting some in, but they're not letting in as many as they're trying to make everybody believe that we, you know, that Biden is.
There are people at the border, and there are people crossing the border, and there are people coming into the United States. I think there's a policy where soon, or it may have already been implemented, they're going to start immunizing those people, giving them vaccinations. So that's a good thing. You know, it's the more people we get vaccinated, the better. Look at a map of the counties of the United States and where there are outbreaks. Florida is bright red. Most of Texas is bright red, except for the El Paso area. Like right around, there's a line along the Rio Grande River, the Rio Grande. There's a line where it's kind of like light orange and maybe dark yellow. So if it were true that the people crossing the border were the ones that were bringing us the infections, that would be bright red, and Florida would be just fine, because there are, quite frankly, not very many recent immigrants arrive in Florida. I mean, some by plane, but we're talking about, I think that DeSantis is worried about people crossing the Texas-Mexico border or the U.S.-Mexico border. They're just not the ones that are driving the infections right now. Sure, one person might be infected and they would affect other people, but that's not what's driving it. It's just a photo op for the governor or talking point to say that to rile up his base, is my opinion.
They want him to run for president, but these Trump supporters are so bamboozled by Trump. They believe everything that he says, and nothing he says is even true, and they just hold on hard and fast like he's the next Messiah, but he's like not a very good person, and he's got a terrible track record, and he lies a lot, and he's a sexual, pervert. And right. I mean,
we're getting a little bit off the track, but so thank you for the call, Barbara. I appreciate that. It's very true what you said, that our former presidents did give out a whole bunch of bad misinformation about COVID. Just mentioning one, he told us that we could inject bleach, that might, of course, that does not work. Please do not do that. That's not good advice. So thank you for that call, Barbara. Let's try now Robin in Sarasota. So Robin, you want to talk about masks as well.
Yeah, just briefly. I'm concerned about the attention span of the American public. Now, unfortunately, I paid attention in history, statistics, and science. So we had the Justinian plague, we had the Black Plague, we had the Spanish flu. We've been through this before, and people just don't understand that we've been through this before. That's all I have to say. We've learned nothing.
If there was a way that you could easily avoid the Black Plague in the Middle Ages, if we were, as a society wise enough and advanced enough and et cetera to have avoided it, you'd think that they would have definitely tried to figure out how to do that, right?
Sir Isaac Newton left town. He had a country property. He just got out of Dodge and waited for the thing to blow over. He said, stay away from other humans. It's transmitted by humans. Stay away from other humans. Yeah. Simple as that.
Well, we know more and more now about. Thank you for the call, Robin. We know more and more now about COVID-19, how it spreads. It may not be perfect. We may not know everything about it, but we do know that if you get vaccinated, if you're able to, some people medically can't. But if you're able to get vaccinated, if you also wear masks and try to stay away from big crowds if you can. And if you can't, be extra careful. So we know how to avoid it. It's just, I'm going to put it this way. It's quite a few stubborn people that are just prolonging this, prolonging the pandemic for the rest of us. And, some of us are getting kind of frustrated about that. So, but this, let's go to David in St. Pete. Hi, David. What would you like to say? You're on the air, David. I'll put you on hold. All right. Michael in Clearwater, what would you like to say?
Well, the masks are symbolic. They're all meant to get people to take the vaccine.
Okay, Levi, you don't need to call back every time. All right, this is what Jeff writes. This whole COVID situation has just placed us in uncharted territory, and where we are is quite troubling. People are completely divided, Jeff says. There's no agreement. If one side says something the other side disagrees with, it's said that they're being political. Nobody knows what the truth is. You just have two sides hollering at each other. My truth is the truth. Your truth is false. So, Jeff, I get what you're saying there. I mean, that's what it seems like. And if you were a Martian and you arrived in the United States today, you would think that, well, maybe there's a debate. But there isn't. The CDC says if you wear masks, that's the best way to protect yourself and get vaccinated. It's not, that's not one side. That's, you know, I'm not arguing with you either, Jeff. I think you're making a good observation of what it kind of looks like out there. But there isn't two sides to this. There's, you know, the science is telling us what to do. Is the science sometimes imperfect and we don't know yet? Yeah, of course. And so people latched on to early on, Fauci said, don't wear masks. But I don't think he ever said, don't wear any masks. I think, because I heard this yesterday, I think what Fauci was saying was you don't need to wear the surgical masks that are in short supply that doctors need. And that was true. We you know, as long as we kept distance from people and we wore other good masks, that was the best we could do. So some of our information is evolving. Because of the Delta variant, the CDC came out and switched its recommendation and said that even if you're vaccinated, you should wear a mask inside. Okay. That's not two sides. That's what the CDC recommends, because that's what their job is. Their job is to figure out how do we keep people safe. All right, so Tom out there in cyberspace says, a lot of the anti-maskers sound like mouth breathers. Don't want to go there. But, you know, that brings up the question of the woman who said, this was in Daniel's story, she was out there and she was against the mask mandate. And she said her son had a runny nose and she didn't hold him back from school because of COVID. She held him back from school because she didn't want him to have boogers in his mask. No, it's a very good idea to keep your kid home from school if they have a runny nose, because that means they're sick and that means they're probably transmissible to other kids. So it is a good thing to hold your student back from school, not because you have some sort of cosmetic issue with masks, but because that's the healthy thing to do. Well, it's 10:57 in the morning and we have about 3 minutes left in this show. And I want to let you know about Janelle's show that's coming up in just a few minutes. Janelle has a great show lined up. She has State Representative Janet Cruz. They will be talking about anything that has to do with COVID or anything like that. So please stay tuned for Janelle Irwin and Evan. And Evan Donovan is the co-host there of The Scoop, Janelle's show at 11 o'clock every Tuesday morning. My name is Sean Cunnan. We're going to take a couple more calls and read a couple more emails. Traveling Nurse says, I agree with DeMarco. However, I call him Rick DeSatan. He calls the governor Rick DeSatan. Another nurse that works in the ER said to me, mask it or casket. Enough said. So thank you, Traveling Nurse, for that saying, mask it or casket. Let's hear what David in St. Petersburg has to say. Hi, David.
Hi, how's it going? I just want to say that I think everyone should listen to experts and stop watching stuff on social media and YouTube of people who have no idea what they're talking about and just rolling with that information as if it holds like any amount of anything worthwhile to what scientists are saying, experts in their field.
Yeah.
Wear masks, get vaccinated. Like, it's not that hard of a thing to do.
And a lot of people who you're talking about have some snake oil to sell you anyway. That's their motivation, to kind of go on YouTube and get hundreds of thousands of followers and sell a bunch of wellness stuff. And that's their motivation is profit.
Right.
Yep. Good idea. Get masked, wear masks, get vaccinated, and listen to the scientists, listen to the CDC. All right, appreciate that, David. Thank you for that call. Let me see what these other texts that have come in at 10:59. We have about 2 minutes left in the show. Let's see. Oh, thanks, Doug. Appreciate the comment there. Sorry, I'm kind of winging this on the fly here right in the last seconds. We have a text here from the 813 area code. The distinction that you have so far failed to make is that you protect others with public masking. Yes, it's a very good point that especially, that's a super point. You didn't sign this email, 813, but you're right. We haven't talked about that yet. If you mask, you're protecting other people. So maybe there are people who can't get vaccinated, or maybe there's people under the age of 12 who are not even eligible for vaccinations yet, and you protect them when you mask yourself. So I think that's super important. It's a very important thing to say. We're getting near the end of the show. I want to thank everyone who called in and texted in and wrote emails. And I also want to thank our guest, Dr. Jason Wilson from Tampa General Hospital. If you missed any of this show, you can go back later this afternoon and listen to it or watch it on WMNF.org. I'm going to try to get the video of my interview with Dr. Jason Wilson on WMNF.org very shortly, maybe by about 1 or 2 this afternoon. And I want to thank Barbara Fling for answering our phone calls today. I'm Sean Canaan. Stay tuned now for Janelle Irwin in her new time, 11 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. Janelle's guest will be State Representative Janet Cruz. And that is coming up after NPR headlines. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota and Lakeland and Bradenton and Newport Richey and Crystal River and Venice and Fort Myers. Thanks so much for listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org.